Good morning, brothers and sisters. You might think that I'm going to be preaching about money today, since I had George, Mr. Calavo, to speak to you about the DSA, and of course, our Lord is pointing out the people who are giving money to the treasury, to the temple, to the church in Jerusalem. So this would seem like a good day to preach about money, right? And how does our Lord compare this woman to the others? Because in regards to physical amounts, she didn't give as much as them. They gave huge sums, Jesus says. She only gave two small coins. They were basically half pennies in Israel. They're almost worthless. The smallest change possible. But the reason our Lord praises her to his apostles is because in comparison to the others, she gave more. Not objectively, but in comparison. Because she gave all that she had. And they only gave from their surplus wealth. So clearly, the homily should be that you need to empty your bank account and give it to the church, because that's what Jesus praises, right? Right? Yeah. No, that's not what I'm preaching on today. You see, when it comes right down to it, what moved our Lord, particularly by this widow, not only because she gave all that she had, but it was why she gave it all. You see, the reason matters. It was because of her faith in God that she was willing to give the little money that she possessed, knowing that the Lord would take care of her. Because he promises to do that. He says, if you put me first in my Father's kingdom, I'll always take care of you. In our first reading today, we hear about another widow. Elijah, it's during a great famine time, sees this widow and he says, hey, could you get me a cup of water? Now, she knows who Elijah is. Everybody knows the prophet Elijah, even the pagans. So she runs to get him a cup of water. Why? Jesus said, even if you give a cup of water to one who belongs to me, you will receive their reward. So she thinks, ooh, God's going to bless me. I'm going to get Elijah a cup of water. So she goes and gets Elijah a cup of water. But while she's going, he says, oh, by the way, I'm hungry too. Give me a little bread. Now, Elijah is not a fool. He would have been inspired by the Holy Spirit and known that she only had a tiny bit of flour and a tiny bit of oil left. She was incredibly poor. And so she tells him, I was going to go and use the last of my flour and oil to make a little cake for my son and I. After we eat it, we'll die because we'll starve to death. There's no more food in the land, and that'll be it. And what does he ask of her? He goes, that's fine, you can do that, but first, make me some bread. And the Lord, your God, will provide for you and your son. Imagine her faith. She already knows she'll get blessed by God for bringing Elijah a cup of water, but now it's going a little further. The last little bit of flour and oil that she has for her and her son, Elijah says he wants for himself. And she goes and she does it. Again, because of her faith. She knows that if I put God first and his church and his prophets, then he will always take care of me. Now, one of the heresies that we often hear nowadays is what we call the prosperity gospel. I don't know if you've heard this title before, but you get this with a lot of televangelists, those people on TV who always preach about you got to give to the Lord. They mean to their church, but that's what they're saying. And then God will richly reward you. And the way he'll reward you, they say, is by multiplying your money. So if you give $10, God will give you $50. If you give $50, God will give you $100. If you give $100, $1,000. $1,000, $10,000. You give $10,000, $100,000. You give $100,000 to my church, Lord will give you $1,000,000. That's demonic. That's what that is. So these Joel Osteen types who preach this prosperity gospel is directly contrary to the teachings of Christ. Nowhere in the scriptures or in our tradition does it say that God will give you more money than you give him. Nowhere. As if you could buy his blessings. Really? You think that's possible? But what he does promise is if you put me and my kingdom first, then you will have everything you need. And there's a big difference, because there are many things we want that we don't need. And so you can look at the lives of these widows and the lives of anyone who has clearly put the Lord first in their life, and they always have food to eat. They always have a roof over their head. They always have clothing on their back. All of the necessities are always taken care of. Not the excesses, but the necessities. And it's because of their faith. And that widow and her son and Elijah in the first reading ate for an entire year out of this miraculous providence of God by multiplying the flour in that jar and the oil in that jug, all because of her faith. Her faith saved her son and fed Elijah the prophet. And that's what this homily is really about. It's not about the amount that you give. It's about the faith behind it. And so I want to ask you a question in regards to your faith. Do you believe in the real presence? Do you believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ? That at the consecration, when the priest, in this case it's me, takes the bread and the wine and says the words of consecration over them, the words of Christ from the Last Supper, that they are no longer bread and wine, that it is, in fact, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, I would hope that all of you Catholics would say, yes, Father. Yes, Father, we believe. Okay. Do you act like it? Does that belief at all affect your life? You see, Satan believes in the real presence. All of the demons believe in the real presence, and they tremble, and they're afraid to come into every Catholic church because of that presence. They believe more than you do. And yet it does them no good. They're still damned. They're still lost. Belief alone in Jesus is worthless and cannot save you. James teaches us that faith without works is dead, just like the faith of the demons. It's dead. It has no life. If you really believed that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, what would that cause you to do differently in your daily life? A very simple question that I can ask anybody who comes to me with any problems whatsoever, right? They come and they're like, Father, I need some advice and direction. And that's fine. Don't stop coming if you need advice and direction. But a very simple question that I can always ask is, did you go and spend time with the Lord? Well, what do you mean, Father? Well, he's right there in the tabernacle. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, is actually physically here 24/7. Did you go and talk to him first? If you really believe that this is Jesus, then when you have difficulties and problems in your life, why don't you come to him first? I'm not saying if you're starting to have some medical issues that you shouldn't go to the doctor first. If you're coughing up blood, please call an ambulance. Don't come to the church and visit Jesus. Jesus will come to you. I'll bring the Blessed Sacrament to you in the hospital. Just call the emergency number. I'll take care of that. Don't worry. But how many difficulties and problems do you have in your life? Personal issues and struggles with sin, or trying to grow in virtue, or weaknesses, or broken relationships. And you'll talk to your friends. You'll even talk to trusted family members, all before even considering coming here and speaking directly with the Lord. Yet none of them can advise you as well as he can. None of them can give you the grace and strength to bear your crosses as he can. None of them loves you as much as he does. Now, I have to say, it's understandable why most of us make this mistake. because you can't see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You can't hear him speak to you with your ears in the same way. But if you believe it is truly him, you would still come just to be in his presence. And it's not enough just to come when you have problems, right? It's the child who only comes and spends time with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa because they want something. I mean, parents and grandparents are forgiving, but still, we would like a little more love and respect. So let's say your life is great. Thanks be to God. Praise his name. But what do you do with your free time? How often do you consider, you know what, I should go and see Jesus. I haven't spent much time with him lately. He made himself bread for you just so that he could be here in this church every moment of every day to be close to you. How often do you think of returning the favor? Now, I'm not the type of preacher who normally tries to shame Catholics into being better Catholics, but it works sometimes. You know, if you're feeling a little guilty, good, you should. Guilt can be a great motivator. When I was young, at least when I was old enough to walk across town with mom and dad's permission, I would actually walk to St. Aloysius in Hickory, especially when I was going through difficulties, because I wanted to talk to God face to face. Now, I'm not saying up here that, haha, I'm better than you because I did it since I was little. No. That's how I was raised. And that was the grace of God working in my mind and heart, calling me to come to him. And some of you may say, well, Father, I don't have that grace. God doesn't just call me. I don't hear his voice saying, come and visit me, spend time with me at church. The reason you don't hear his voice is because you're not listening. That's it. That's the main reason. You're just not listening because he's calling you. And some of you do hear his voice. You're listening, but you find all the excuses not to come. It's inconvenient. I'm just so busy. The Lord understands. I'll just talk to him at home. And you can do that. You can talk to the Lord anywhere you are. But is it the same thing for us as humans when we call a friend up or when we go out of our way to visit them? Yes, if all you can do is call Jesus on the phone, fine. He will accept that if that's all you can do. But if you had the time and the means to visit him and you chose not to, consider how that must make him feel. When you get seriously ill, you don't just call up the doctor, you go and you see him. When your car breaks down, you don't just call the mechanic, you visit him. Why do we do this? Because as human beings, we need face-to-face contact to fix the problems in our lives. So a lot of us think, I want to be a saint, sure, and that's good, you should. I want to be holy. You fail to realize what it looks like. Do you know what makes the saints saints? They were good humans. That's what they were. They were really good humans who loved God in a human way, and therefore he made them saints. A good human would visit family, especially in need. A good human would go out of their way to spend time with a loving friend who had suffered greatly for them without asking anything in return. That's what a good human would do. In a sense, you don't need to try to be a saint. You just need to try to be a good human. And that doesn't mean you have to be here in the church 24/7. That's my job. It's not your job. And you might not be able to make it to the holy hour on Thursday nights from 6 to 7. That might not work for you and your family. maybe even very difficult to spend an hour with the Lord during First Friday adoration. Our Lord doesn't expect you to give the same amount as he expects from everyone else. But he does want you to give. So how much time do you give to him in his real presence? Even if it was just a 5-minute visit on your way home from work on a Tuesday, because that's all the time all week you had, it's very possible that our Lord would look at those 5 minutes and say, to all the saints and angels in heaven, do you see my son? Do you see my daughter? They gave more than all the rest, because they gave the only extra time that they had, all because of their faith. I don't doubt that you believe, but it has to be more than that. You must act on your belief. And if you do this, if you do what is good for you, what is pleasing to the Lord, you will see his blessings multiply in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.